the story mentioned by the book, and it's always a good lesson to learn, especially 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a beautiful battle he fought against the three nations, and he put a choir in front of the army and won the victory, so that's wonderful. But it's a character study. I think Paul hit all the good points. It's a very good example. We need to learn the lifeline, the whole story of that person. Jehoshaphat, like all the kings, we have our weakness. One thing he did is he allowed his son to marry the daughter of King Ahab, the king of Israel. And the result of that marriage is they produce that daughter, that queen of Ahab. I mean, the daughter of Ahab became the queen of Judah. And this queen almost destroyed the whole dynasty. If we read on, Jehoshaphat, a very faithful servant of God, but he, in the end, he compromised on one thing. That he loved this marriage, and the result is almost the kingdom of Judah was destroyed. There was only one very young princess was saved through that slaughter, and eventually God revived the kingdom. But that's a very, very good Bible study. We appreciate that, Paul. Yeah. All right, let me give you a little bit of review of what you learned last week. Okay, rely on God's word. Let's review the 6 weeks of book 3. First week 1, overcoming the enemy. That's the Satan and his kingdom. Week 2, truth and faith. You learned that a week before. Last week, you learned week 3, rely on God's word. And you have 3 weeks to go. Week 4 is praying faith. Week 5, look to Jesus. And week 6, stand victorious. Okay, this is what we're going to learn in book 3. Rely on God's word. Okay, review. 5 days. Day 1, God's reliable word. That's the Bible. The basis of our teachings. Okay, the whole week, last week, is based on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. God's word. The Bible is the God breath. And it's good for, very useful for teaching. That's day 2. And rebuking. That's day 3. And correcting. That's day 4. And training righteousness. Okay. So we learn these 4 basic things. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. That's what the Bible is used for. As a result of last week's study, you should be able to do 2 things. First, you should be able to define the way God's word equips you to serve Him. How does that work? Number 2, study God's word more effectively. Okay. I hope this is really happening. The inspired word of God. Okay, 2 Timothy verse. Chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. All scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 4 things are mentioned here. First, the Bible is useful for teaching, and it's useful for rebuking, useful for correcting, and useful for training in righteousness. I appreciate the way the book presents these 4 things. It gives you definitions, so you understand what is teaching. This is things related with doctrines, and it also teach you what is rebuking. The book defines rebuking as going the totally opposite way of God's way. 180 degree different. Correcting means you go straight, okay, a little bit wrong, okay, and you receive the correcting. Then training in righteousness. Okay, let's take a look at teaching. Bible teaches you sound doctrines. Don't be afraid of the word doctrine. Okay. Doctrine basically just means things about God. Okay. And so, oh, that's good. We need that kind of knowledge. So you need instruction on areas involving doctrinal issues. So whenever a teaching is happening, be humble and receive a good teaching on some doctrines. Teaching is constructive. It builds you up with knowledge of God. Without teaching, you'll be very ignorant about God. So it's a gift from God that teaching is happening. It's constructive. The book also says teaching is a preventative. Okay. Biblical instruction and guidance are designed to prevent a problem from happening. So if you received good teaching, that will save you a lot of trouble. Preventing. If you are grounded in truth, you have God's word as a point of reference. There's always something inside of you serve as a point of reference. So when Satan attempts to lead you straight, go astray, you have that point of reference inside of you. So that's the benefit you receive from teaching. And rebuking. A rebuking is a reproof that things that brings conviction. I like the definition, a reproof that brings conviction. The key word is conviction. You are convinced, you are convicted, and you receive that conviction. Yeah. An awareness that you have done wrong. That's the benefit of scripture. Its rebuke gives you guidance. It makes you aware that you are traveling in the opposite direction you should be going. And the Lord identifies a weakness in you through His word. When we read the Bible with a humble heart, that will happen. Through a verse of scripture, the Lord seems to say, "Here is the way, turn around and come back." Rebuking. And then we have a correcting. Correcting means to restore. That's the original meaning of the Greek language. The Bible is useful for restoring the direction of your life. I think the book uses resetting the direction. That's a good way to put it. The Bible is useful not only for people who are going in the opposite direction of God, but also for people who strayed from the past. Okay. God's correction is motivated by love. Okay. It's for your good that God is doing correcting. Okay. It would be impossible to be an intimate disciple of Christ if you strayed from the truth. So by reading the Bible, God is calling His children to come back. Resetting the direction of your life. Then lastly, training in righteousness. Okay. Alright, the Bible teaches moral character. How to live life rightly. Okay. So training in righteousness is how to live. How to live it right. It concerns our moral character. As a Christian, you are not left to guess what we is right again and again. The Bible teaches you in practical day-to-day ways to live. It gives the example of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, what is wrong and what is right. The Bible spells out for us, and we are grateful for that. Okay. I like the way the book presents the salvation prayer is different from the prayer we usually have, like for spiritual law. And this is a very Christ-centered salvation prayer. It conveys the same idea, the same element, but it's centered on Christ. So I like you pay attention to this salvation prayer in your book. Yeah. Lord Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Okay? Your death on the cross as the payment for my sins, and I now entrust my life to your care. So it mentions all the things you need to mention for salvation. Thank you for forgiving me and giving me a new life. Please help me grow in my understanding of your love and power, so that my life will bring glory and honor to you. And then you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Notice that the prayer is directed towards Jesus, Lord Jesus. You pray to Jesus, and you mention that you need him, you receive him as your Lord and Savior, and his death on the cross as a payment for our sins. It's a very good Christ-centered salvation prayer. It will benefit you if you remember this prayer. So in time, God gives us opportunity to lead someone, and you need to lead that person in a salvation prayer. You know what to say. You can say, okay, now follow me. I see one sentence. You follow me with another sentence. You can pray from your heart and lead that person to Christ. There is a guide about the confession and the forgiveness. Each week we'll have a guide. Okay, last week we'll have a guide to of thanksgiving and praise. Now it's a confession and forgiveness. I don't need to mention all the points. It will benefit you if you go back and review it. Okay, I'll show you this picture of hand. You need to memorize the following picture. God's word in your heart and hand. You should have read this already. It has three levels. We are now going through the first level. Okay. First we have a hand. Okay. And from the little finger, it means here. Hear God's word. Simple. Examine. That means read. Read God's word. Then the middle finger is analyze. That means study. Study God's word. Okay. Then it means remember. Okay. Remember, commit to your into your memory. Remember God's word. The sound means think. Okay. So we have the first five letter, H-E-A-R-T, that's heart. So God's word in your heart, okay? So five things you need to be doing in order to put God's word in your heart and hand. Then finally, we also have this. Apply, okay, in your palm. So with five fingers and your palm, you can grasp God's word firmly, okay? Now let's do a little bit of review. Hear, that means listen to God's word. Whenever you have the opportunity to hear God's word, pay attention. Examine, which means read God's word. Okay. Analyze, which means study God's word. And remember, that's easy, just remember God's word. Think. It means meditate on God's word. So you need to remember this palm diagram and what does it mean. This is level one. Level two, you have to remember all the verses that's related to each finger. Okay. All right. Now let's review the armor. We now have how many elements already? Three. Let's put them on. First, you put on the helmet of salvation, and three steps you can do this. You put on your identity. Thank God that you are His child. I'm God's child. That's my identity. Then you put on your assurance. Praise God for your eternal life. I'm very sure I have eternal life. Then put on the mind of Christ. Be humble. Replace your own mind with the mind of Christ. That's the way to put on the helmet of salvation. Then the second element is this. you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Also, the book gives us three steps. Put on a heart search. Ask God to search your heart to reveal any wicked way. Then put on your confession. Confess anything to God. Then put on Christ's righteousness. You claim Christ's righteousness. After confession, you're sure God has forgiven you and you can claim Christ's righteousness to cover your sins and to give you right standing with Him. And then last week we had this third element. And what is it? Good. Which is the Word of God. First, you put on a grasp on the Word. Hold it to your heart. Remember the five fingers, the heart, the palm. Then you put on the Holy Spirit to use it. You pray to the Holy Spirit. Be humble and ask the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God. After all, it's His sword. Okay? It's the Holy, the sword of the Spirit. Then you put on a basis to your prayer. It says in the book, base your prayers on God's Word. Okay? So that's the third element we have learned. Then we do a little bit summary. We have this helmet of salvation, and we have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the sword of spirit, and that's the spiritual armor of God. We still are missing three more elements. All right, next week's assignment. As usual, you'll complete your walk with the my walk with the masters. All of you have received an email from Yixuan, right?
Yes.
Starting from this week, today, we're going to give you a homework evaluation form, and each of you need to fill it out and turn it in. You give yourself an honest homework evaluation, and we'll grade you on your evaluation. Each form worth 25 points, and we have 10, including this one, 10 more sessions left, so for a total of 250 points. We will grade the whole class this Master Life training because our church's future will very much related to this training process. So I think Yixuan has the form ready. Okay, will you please hand it out now? Okay. So if you will put your name and the date and give yourself an evaluation, it's a very simple form. We'll do this for the next 10 weeks, and you fill it out and turn it in, give it back to Yixuan, and she will keep a record of it. Our class, the 25% of the total score will be your participation, which is the form you have now. The 10 forms will contribute to 25% of the total score, and your attendance will be another 25. So you just give yourself an evaluation, and maybe 2-3 minutes later, I'll give it back to Yixuan, and she will keep a record of it. Also, please remember October 1st is our prayer workshop. The time is in the morning from 8 to 12. Yeah, Master Life requires to have a 4-hour prayer workshop. So we'll come to church that morning from 8 to 12. As you may feel, our training intensifies as we go on. Okay, next week you're going to have a guide to meditation on page 136 through 138. And you will continue to list the names of unsaved person and pray for them. You will grasp opportunity to witness to a non-Christian. And you will review the armor of God. Okay. Also, let me mention now there's a date you should remember. The next day of the prayer workshop, which is October 2nd, that day we meet, I will give you a brief introduction of book 4, and I will also give you a scripture test. You'll be tested on your general knowledge of the scripture and also the master life verses. So October 1st, we have a prayer workshop, and October 2nd, we have a scripture test. So remember, the third book is basically based on scripture and prayer. Okay, these two elements. So we'll have a prayer workshop and a scripture test. Okay, the small group time, check each other's My Walk with the Master, and quote Psalms 1, verse 2-3. Practice. This time you need to practice two things. First, to explain the spiritual armor to each other, and explain God's word in your heart and hand, the one I just showed you, which you should have read yourself.
Do we eventually need to memorize all this?
Yes. All the verses. Just remember the reference. You don't have to actually to remember the verse itself. Okay. Okay. But you know, under each. Okay. Well, like Jonathan's spirit. Okay, and you will share with your group members about what you learned last week, about how the scripture equips you. Either it's a teaching or rebuking or correcting or training in righteousness. Share your experience in witnessing to people. And finally, pray with praise and thanksgiving. Okay, that's your group time. Let's break into groups.